All right, so just for video purposes, I'm going to reintroduce us. So welcome, everyone, to People's Rights meeting here in Pasadena at Victory Park. We've got some new people here today. If you wouldn't mind, let us know your name and how you heard about us. All right. Great. Well, thank you, Mary. We're glad to have you here. So what is People's Rights? What are we about? People's Rights is about claiming, using, and defending your rights. So in order to claim your rights, first thing you got to do is know what your rights are. So once you know what your rights are, then you got to lay claim to those rights. Just like the homesteaders of the old days. You go out and you set your stakes in the ground that you want to claim. Well, you got to do the same thing with your rights. So once you claim your rights, then you got to use them and exercise them. Like we're doing today, exercising our First Amendment rights to speak freely. Okay? So once you've claimed and used your rights, then it's unfortunate that we have to follow up with defending our rights from all the people that are trying to take those rights away. So every week I've been trying to do this. So I'm going to do it again this week. I'm going to read a little portion of the Constitution and talk about that. So in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, we have Amendment Number 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Does anybody here think that our right to bear arms has been infringed recently? I think it has. In fact, if you think about it, how can you turn a right into a privilege? Well, you require a permit. So if you get a permit to carry a weapon, you just converted your right into a privilege. And a privilege that the government can now revoke. Okay? But you had the right to begin with. So why did you convert it into a privilege? You see? So a lot of people don't understand the Second Amendment. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. So militias have got a bad name in the press, and the government says it's a dirty word. But you know what a militia really is? A militia consists of all the people that live here that are capable of defending their nation in time of trouble. So basically, everyone is a member of the militia. If you're capable of standing up and defending your nation, you're a member of the militia. And that's what the militia is. It's not under government authority. So it's not the National Guard. The National Guard is something separate. That's under the authority of the government. The militia is the people, literally the people. So why do they say a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of a free state? Well, what are they talking about? Regulation. Doesn't that mean government? No. What the founders meant by regulated was that they're well-equipped, they're trained to use their equipment and their weapons in time of trouble, and they're organized, and they have a structure of organization. That's what it means to be well-regulated. It doesn't mean the government regulates the militia. No. The militia is here in case we need to defend ourselves from the government. So it's not under their control, and it shouldn't be. So then it goes on to say, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I don't notice any exceptions in there. So a lot of people argue, well, the people shouldn't have tanks and rocket launchers and all this kind of stuff. Well, what the people should have is the ability to defend themselves from the government should that ever become necessary. If the government becomes tyrannical and they start attacking us, how are we going to defend ourselves if we're not on par with what they've got? So the arguments all fall flat on why we shouldn't have weapons. And, you know, a lot of people think that owning guns is dangerous, and look at all this, they call it gun violence. Well, there's no such thing as gun violence. Gun violence is a made-up term. Do you call it, when a car slams into someone and kills them, do you call it car violence? No, it's the operator of the car that did that. It's the operator of the gun that kills people. It's not the gun itself. So if you go down this road of logic and you say, well, we need to ban guns, or we need to ban certain types of guns. Okay. Are you going to ban knives? Are you going to ban matches? Are you going to ban automobiles? Because all those things can be used to kill people. In fact, there was a guy that it was an accident, but he ran over like 30 people in Santa Monica with his truck. And so, you know, guns aren't even the most efficient killing mechanism. We had a fire that was intentionally started in Malibu some years ago. It burnt down 1,100 homes and killed quite a few people. So matches are more dangerous than guns right off the bat. You can do a lot more damage. So the whole logic behind banning guns is seriously flawed. But I'm going to tell you a true story real quick, and then I'm going to introduce our speaker. I have two friends, Mitch and Victoria. This is a true story. They lived in Glendora. Now they've moved. But they were sitting in their living room on a summer day. They had their front door open and their screen door closed. Mitch was in the kitchen. Victoria was in the living room. And three guys busted into their house. And they grabbed a hold of Mitch immediately, got him on the ground, and started beating him up badly, very badly. Then one of the guys grabbed Victoria, forced her into the back bedroom. And they shut the door and kind of put her back there and locked her away. And then they started beating up Mitch and saying, "Where's the money? Where's the drugs? Where's the money? Where's the drugs?" Well, apparently, unknown to Mitch and Victoria, next to them, in the house next door, was a drug dealer. And they got the wrong house. So they broke into Mitch and Victoria's house. And Mitch was getting beat up within an inch of his life in the kitchen on the floor. And what they didn't know was that in that back room where they put Victoria, they had a gun. And Victoria got the gun out, and she came out of there shooting. And she shot one of the guys five times. And the other two ran. The guy she shot made it about two houses down, and he collapsed on the ground. He's still alive. But she came out of that back bedroom shooting, and she saved Mitch's life. And stop that crime in its tracks. And what the press won't tell you is that kind of thing, the defensive use of firearms, is 10 times more common than somebody getting murdered by a weapon just in a crime or something like that. So that's according to FBI statistics. So there's 10 times more defensive uses of firearms than there are murders or assaults with firearms. But the press, strangely, they don't like to talk about that. Don't know why. But anyway, so that's a little bit of, about the Second Amendment. But the part the government seems to forget the most is the shall not be infringed part. So what that means is hands off. You have no authority to tell us what we can and cannot have, because the whole purpose and the intent behind the Second Amendment, and this was written about in the Federalist Papers, the whole intent was so that we would have the capability to stop the government in its tracks if it ever became tyrannical, because they had just, remember, gotten out from under the authority of King George. So they didn't want another repeat of tyranny. So that's a little bit about the Second Amendment. Anyway, today we have a very interesting speaker. We have Jeff Mora from the John Birch Society today. And Jeff is a field coordinator for this area, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the John Birch Society. So I'd like everybody to welcome him up here. The John Birch Society, by the way, has been basically doing what we're doing for a lot longer. So welcome, Jeff. Come on up.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you very much. Awesome. Thank you. First off, let me just say, for you guys to take time out of your Sunday to come out here, come down here and support American freedom and liberty is very impressive. So thank you first and foremost for just taking the time to get out here. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. I love it. Let it out. I noticed that we have a flag right here. Would it be okay if we put this flag out, Adam, and did a Pledge of Allegiance before we get started? No, that's fine. I would love that if we could. Do you guys mind if we stand up and pledge allegiance?
I might have to secure it myself.
That's fine. Old Glory. Beautiful flag. All right. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ah, thank you very much, you guys. I appreciate that. Now we're ready to begin. That's what we used to start every school day with that. You guys probably did too. Every day we started with that. And then now we're ready to begin. We're ready to learn. So thanks for coming here today. If you guys are comfortable where you're at, fantastic. I'm going to move this a little farther away. I don't want to be too loud. Am I too loud? Also, I tend to get a little excited talking about freedom and liberty and the John Birch Society. So if I do get a little excited, you know, somebody raise your hand and just, you know. I love it so much that my heart gets, you know, atrial fibrillation talking about the John Birch Society, which Adam mentioned that is started a long time ago. We've been doing this for a long time, since 1958 to be exact. So just I want to give you guys a brief history about us. We were started back then by a millionaire by the name of Robert Welch, who decided that he wanted to do something with his fortune. He wanted to save America because he could see that communist infiltration coming into America via the politics and everything, the laws that were being passed that we talked about, those unconstitutional amendments that have popped up over the years that have infringed upon our rights. Any infringement on the Second Amendment is an infringement. That's why they chose that word shall not. They had many, many words to choose from, didn't they, Mary Mark? But they chose shall not. So what I was asked to do here today was to come and give you guys an overview of the John Birch Society and kind of tell you a little bit about how we can help your activism. Because I talk to a lot of groups from a lot of different areas. Like he mentioned, my area covers all the way from Central California down here to Southern California and as far east as almost the Nevada border. So I've got a large area I drive around to, and I'm not only going to John Birch Society meetings. I'm going to meetings like this where people have popped up with the local Patriot organizations, and they've decided to get up and do something about the tyranny, especially since 2020. We have seen so many groups pop up. People just sick and tired of the tyranny. And I'm here to help. I'm here to let you guys know that there is an organization out there that prints up brochures readily available for you to distribute under your moniker should you decide to become a member of the John Birch Society. I will help you. That is our whole goal, is to educate people. We want to create an educated electorate by leading church groups, by bringing people into our homes, by talking to people on a local level like we're doing here. Friends and neighbors getting together. That's what I love about this group right here, is you guys are creating a little community, a tight-knit community. I know there's some new people here. Thanks for coming here. Hopefully you come back and you guys stay connected and you keep this ball rolling. You keep growing, because that's the only way we're going to win this fight, is by growing. We've got to educate more people and bring them into the fight. Get them up off their couch on a Sunday afternoon. Get them out here so that they can learn what sort of activism it's going to take for them to really restore America. So, pardon me, I should have already had this ready. We first and foremost, you guys, we exist to protect those freedoms, the God-given ones that were granted to you the moment that you were born. During 60 years of this, we've built an organization just like yours, Patriotic Americans, enlisting other Americans in education and action. So we weren't to educate first and foremost, but really I came here today because you guys already know how to educate yourselves. You've turned off mainstream media, right? Woo! Yeah. You're plugged into some alternate news sources that brought you here. You know, somebody, you know, this wasn't out there for everybody to see. This was a close-knit invitation, I'm assuming. So you've got this alternate source now that you are, in my opinion, a step ahead from other people. So it makes you guys a little more educated than them, but it allows you the opportunity to bring them into the fold and get them in a spot where if they see that their rights are being infringed, not just their Second Amendment rights, but any of their God-given rights, they recognize it. They're living constitutional lives. So not just education. We want you guys who are frustrated with the political spectrum right now to realize it for what it is. A lot of times it's a dog and pony show between leftists and rightists, conservatives and liberals. It's a divide and conquer technique that was written about years ago. And we know this. Why? We have the books. You know, they've written the books. We've read them. We have them in our library. Heck, they're available on our website, the Communist Manifesto. It's right there. It's not a hard read. Has anybody read that, by the way? It is fascinating to me how this plan is coming into effect all these years later when that you know, was written. So keep in mind the fact that we have been combating this festering conspiracy since, you know, our founder became aware of it way back in 1958. We want you guys to become active. Thank you so much for coming out here today. But a lot of you guys say, once you become a member of the John Birch Society, what now? What else? You know, what else can you do? How else can you be active? Because there are some ways that just are not very appealing to us. You know, joining a rally in a street where, you know, property is broken and vandalized. That's not really something that I want to be a part of in the name of saving this country. But what I would like to be a part of is educating people and getting them, when they go to the ballot, to really make a difference when they cast their vote for a politician who speaks really to their values, somebody who's not controlled by the globalist elite, which hopefully everybody here is well aware of the fact that we are not in control of our politicians. Those that are supposed to be speaking for us haven't been doing that. And this has been going on for decades. A lot of your friends and neighbors don't know this. A lot of them are just waking up to the fact that their elected officials don't speak for them. My area of Kings County, California, we had a good old boy elected to Congress that we felt really good about. I know some people that went to school with him, knew his family, good family name. They got elected to Congress, thought he was doing a good thing. But when you really start to keep tabs on these politicians, you can really start to see how they're voting once they leave your district and they head into Washington, D.C. What happens out there? I think we all know on a low level that they somehow get turned, whether it's by the dollar or another honeypot scheme. These politicians somehow don't start talking for us anymore, and that's because they all get involved in this globalist plan, which I don't want to need. Yeah, and then money talks, doesn't it? Yeah. So anyway, how can you, besides informing others, how can you get involved? How can you be active in your realm of comfortability, right? As much as I want you to break out of your comfort zone, you know, and get out there and speak as often as I do and get out to as many groups as I do, just the fact that you're here, again, God bless you for that. But what else can you do? It's responsibility of all of our members to be informed. First and foremost, if you don't enjoy reading, I would say start to enjoy reading. Start to enjoy getting into these books that have been written about the conspiracy. Every one of us can then inform others. It's that simple. When we create a well-informed electorate, then we start to change our congressional districts. Now, we also have, and I brought a lot for you guys to take home. This is all free material over here. Our New American Magazine. I brought this one right here from COVID Lockdown Madness because I love reading these articles from a couple years ago, and it's all true. It's all, we were kind of predicting the future. We were letting you know then exactly what was going to happen. We were right then, and so this information never gets old, which is why one of the great ways to be active is just to pass this information out. If you get a magazine subscription to the New American and you're done reading it, hand it to someone. The information never gets old. It's well-researched and it's well-documented. So please, if that's the amount of your activism, then that's great. That's fantastic. Would you like to do more? Well, we'd love to have you do more. If you know any opinion molders in your community, you know anybody who writes articles for the local newspaper, if you know anybody that gets the word out, like we've got some opinion molders here today, keep in touch with them. Keep in touch with business and professional leaders, local officials. These are people who mold opinions. Get to know your city council members. Has anybody been to a city council meeting recently? No? Board of Supervisors meeting? These are things that are free and easy to do. And they really, it's the first step to getting involved is sitting there and listening to the issues that your city council people are talking about. And I'll tell you a trick. The city council meeting that takes place for the public is usually what happens after they've already made their decisions. The study session that happens beforehand, that's really what you want to take part in. But if you want to be active, the best way is to start by going to your city council, sitting on a meeting. And you can do it virtually from the privacy of your home ever since 2020. You can sit there and watch the proceedings. They don't take more than an hour out of your day. And you can listen in and see who else is speaking there. This is a great way to meet patriots and bring people into the fold. If you want to recruit new members into your group, it's what we do. We go out to these city council meetings. You talk to other patriots. Pay attention to who's up there speaking their mind to the elected officials and letting them know that they're not doing their constitutionally elected duties by not representing the people. Go to the Board of Supervisors meetings. Go to the city council meetings. Stop by a school board meeting. My eyes were really open the last time I went to a school board meeting. Again, it was after COVID. I got really involved with the mask wearing, which is, again, why I love this. I wish I had this magazine when it first came out. But anyways, if you get involved in a school board meeting, you'll see that the information that our kids are being taught is not exactly the classic education that our founding fathers would have been proud of. The entire Department of Education is pretty much a sham. And if you're not aware of that, we have some excellent books written about the Department of Education and how it's really dumbing down our kids. Everybody's aware of this, right? I'm not speaking anything that nobody knows. Well, do your friends and neighbors know about it? You guys know about it. You're here. Do your friends and neighbors know? How do you let them know? We've got brochures. We have got pamphlets, handouts. Like I said, you're more than welcome to take this, stamp your own People's Rights LA on there, and hand it out to people. We make these readily available for you to distribute as you wish. It is a great way to get that into people's heads. And I'm talking about specifically about opinion molders. Like I said, talk to, schedule an appointment with a city council member. He's your elected official, your local congressman, your assemblyman. Have an appointment with them. Hand them this information. Mold their opinions as they mold others. If you haven't, try to follow the money. Everybody spends money in the community, right? I don't know how many professionals we have here. Any doctors, electricians, plumbers? No. These people, grocers, pharmacists, these are the people that you talk to, right? These are the people that you, ambulance drivers, policemen, people in the community, professionals in your community, these are the people that you talk to. I go out and I speak to, you know, the same grocery store clerk just about every time I go in the same line. I go and I speak to my automotive technician. It's the same group I go to every time. And what do I talk about when I'm sitting there in the waiting room? I don't waste time talking about what's on television. And I don't waste time talking about, you know, what I saw in the movie theater last week. I make sure to talk to people about important information. Be that person. Be that guy, that woman, be that citizen that loves freedom so much. When people see you coming, they know that they're going to hear about it. They know they're going to learn about a way for them to preserve freedom. And if they don't look at it that way, change their opinion of it. Mold their mind. Speaking of events like the ones that you guys just invited me to, these are fantastic. If you guys see others, somebody was saying that Trevor Loudon just spoke. Was it last night? Trevor Loudon's on our speakers bureau. He speaks for John Birch Society chapters all over the state. We put together these speaking engagements just like he's on this tour right now. We recently brought in Dr. Douglas Frank, who is doing a great talk right now. If you're nodding your head, you saw him. Did you see him speak? If you've seen him speak online, he's doing a great talk right now on election integrity and how to, on a local level, restore election integrity and possibly get the Dominion voting machines or whatever voting machines they have down here. I know in LA it's a different system that they use, but up in Shasta County, he had a hand in helping those citizens over there get the Dominion machines thrown out of that county. So anyways, I bring it up because he's one of our speakers on our bureau, putting these speaking engagements on like you guys are doing, going to other ones, informing people about them. You guys, that is a great way to stay active. You know, obviously, do some research into the background of those organizations. You know, make sure that it's somebody that you want to back. But bring people with you. You've all come here today. You've active. I would challenge you then, the next time you come, bring a neighbor, bring a friend, somebody that you know that would be, you know, on Facebook that you shared a meme with, you know, or Twitter or whatever it is, social media. If you have somebody in your area of influence, influence them, bring them live, bring them local so that they can get involved. If you guys are monitoring any of these local talk shows, you said you talked to someone who does a show six nights a week on the radio. That's someone that you should absolutely be raising questions with, talking to, making sure that they are the kind of people that can distribute this information as well. These people hopefully are experts in what they're talking about. Utilize that information. Take that radio show, send it to somebody else. I mean, a lot of these radio and TV and internet shows, it's as easy as copying a link and sending it to a friend and then inviting them to a speaking engagement and getting them up off the couch and getting them involved. Politically, if you'd like to attend, like I said, county and precinct groups, any political activity that you decide to get involved in is better than not doing anything at all. And if that means joining a committee, forming an ad hoc committee to really get an insider's perspective on how local government operates. Has anybody worked for local government at all? Volunteered for a campaign or anything like that? Great. Awesome. Oh, you're sad about it. Okay. It's okay. I donate a lot of money to David Valadao. That's the congressman that I was talking about from my area up there who I gave him a lot of money. I didn't work on his campaign, but I gave him a lot of my hard-earned money. And then, you know, he was one. he continues to just disappoint us as conservative voters. Anyway, we're going to talk about that right now. I'm going to kind of show you something that I'm really excited about that we offer, which is called the Freedom Index. Mary Mark here, she has been one of the people who prints these out, distributes them to other local patriots. We call the Freedom Index, it used to be called the Trim Bulletin. Can everybody see this? This is our Freedom Index, and I brought up Judy Chu. Judy Chu is a representative. Did you guys all, were you aware of that? From here, from Pasadena, I typed in, so from the address from Pasadena, she's your 28th district representative, your legislator. And if we want to see Judy Chu's score, here's her scorecard. Now, what we've done is we've taken six bills. Can everybody see that, or do I need to enlarge it? We've taken six bills, and we've decided to grade her on how she voted, whether that bill is for or against the Constitution. Is that good like that? So these red X's, you can guess what those are for. No good. I'll go into this first one. She voted yes on H.R. 1130, expanding NATO. expresses support for Sweden and Finland joining NATO and calls on NATO member states to formally support the country's ascension. One of our oldest programs was get the U.S. out of the U.N. The United Nations... Evil from its very inception, even when you look into their bylaws, goes completely against the United States of America and what we hold dear and true. So anybody who's voting for that is definitely voting for, is not voting constitutionally. Semiconductor incentives. I didn't even hear about this bill, but it spent $54.2 billion on multiple unconstitutional research, development, and manufacturing programs, authorized an additional $168 billion in spending. So if you see the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, right there on our scorecard, you can see why we voted that, why we think that is an unconstitutional bill. She, of course, voted yes for it. So Judy Chu down here is not looking too hot, is she? Yes. Again, on the back side of these, you'll see our description of how this vote affects you as an American citizen. Again, this is something you can print out from your own home. You do not have to be a John Birch Society member to do this. These are things that you, as a People's Rights LA member, or just a member of Pasadena community, you should, by all means, go visit Judy Chu. Take the time to go call her office and see if you can't schedule an appointment. Show her this, print it out and show her this, and ask her why she's voting in these unconstitutional manners. How many of you were excited when Kevin McCarthy was named Speaker of the House? No, good for you. Good for you. Here, I go ahead. I'm going to pass some of these out. Yeah, well, I'm glad. See, again, you guys are doing enough. You guys are the smart ones. You guys are here. You know about the global conspiracy. You know how this works. But other folks that you come in contact with, they can't see. And it's much better you could tell in color. But you can see how the X... for a yes on Ukraine aid. Unconstitutionally voted to spend $40.1 billion in aid to the Ukraine. Voted yes on the omnibus appropriation. Again, more money on multiple unconstitutional programs. He voted constitutionally on 67% of the votes below. Let's look him up right now. Sorry, pardon me one moment. Yep. You got it.
American.
Yes, this is the newamerican.com.
Our website, I'll show you in a moment, is jbs.org, jbs.org. But I'm showing you right now where the Freedom Index is. This is located on the newamerican.com, which is our magazine, which is what I was asking you to please grab those, distribute them, hand them out. Otherwise, they're just going to collect dust in my office. So please utilize that New American magazine. And again, this is on that website. Our media arm of the John Birch Society is the New American. Who am I speaking to? Are you a new American? Yeah. Have you thought differently about the country over the last few years? Has anything awakened your mind to the global conspiracy? The New American. That's the name of our magazine. I could say, I guess I could debate the N. But yeah, for us all to become new Americans, and it goes back actually to taking more responsibility for our government. And this is, like I said, this is one way to do that, to become a new American. I consider myself a newer American since I woke up, since I, you know, was awakened to the global conspiracy, so to speak. I consider myself a newer thinking American. I used to just digest everything that was told to me. On the news and the media. I don't do that anymore. So I consider myself a new thinking American, a new American. So I enjoy the title. I like it. That's why I love handing it out. I'm sorry if you don't, but it's what it's called, the newamerican.com. Real quick, if you don't like to read the articles in print, you can also get this on your phone or in your email every single day. But here's Mr. McCarthy. ...61% lifetime. Like, when you take office, you take an oath to what? Uphold and defend the Constitution. All enemies, foreign and domestic. He is defending the Constitution 61% of the time, according to how he's been voting on the bills that we've picked. Did we cherry pick these bills? Maybe. But they show very well that he's unconstitutionally voting a lot of the time. Why is that? Is it a global influence? We talked a moment ago about what happens to these guys when they get to Washington. Kevin McCarthy, Bakersfield guy, owned and operated a business before he was elected to Congress. Supposedly a good old boy with conservative values. He sure isn't voting for the Constitution like he should be. I'd like to see somebody voting for the Constitution 100% of the time, somebody that I vote for. Are we going to get that? I don't know. Let's just look at California as a whole. Is Tom McClintock? You want to...
McClintock? Yes. Two C's, Pinoquet. Mariposa County.
Lots of zeros.
Most of the Democrats are 0 or 5 or 10 or 15%.
So we'll just go down here. If we
scroll down here, you guys, we can just look at the whole country as a whole. You could focus on each state. So what Mary Mark was just alluding to was just looking at how... Oh, here's 100%er. Patricia Bates. She's a senator. She's 100%er. But
Patricia Bates.
Who's the cowboy hat dude?
She's in Sacramento. Oh, I'm sorry. No, no. I'm sorry. She's her office is in Sacramento. What was I thinking? Laguna Hills. Laguna Hills. You guys aware of her? No? Maybe you should become aware of her. Maybe she'd like to come speak at your meeting. Maybe she could. Yeah, she sounds like somebody you want to get to know. But look at the blue here. Again, because we have to divide everything by color, blue and red. But you can tell a lot of these blue zeros. A lot of zeros. It's sad, but at the same time, this is a tool for you to take with you. Print this out. Talk to these people. Talk to the people that are voting for them. Show them this. You don't have to say a word. You just hand this to them. This is your elected official? This is who you voted for? Oh, okay. You know, I would vote for someone who's for the Constitution. And if you're wondering, how do I get in touch with my elected officials? This is where JBS.org comes in. Again, JohnBirchSociety.org, JBS.org. Here's our website. And we have something over here where we can have you contact your local officials. Put in your address, hit search, and I just put in Pasadena. And every single one of your federal and state legislatures is listed on here. You want to click on their Facebook link, their LinkedIn, their Twitter. If you'd like to contact Dianne Feinstein personally, there's her phone number. You can call Dianne Feinstein and let her know what a great job she's doing protecting your constitutional God-given rights. When I ask you to do more and to take action, I never knew before joining the John Birch Society how easy it would be to contact your local officials. If you and your friends, just the group right here, were to put together one letter writing campaign, you will definitely get the attention of your local officials. You'd get Judy Chu's attention with a letter from all the people that are here today. What she chooses to do with that is up to her. But if you want them to speak on an issue, if you want to get their attention, it starts by knowing how to do that. And by the John Birch Society, like I said, we're education first. We want to get you guys the tools in order to get out there and become active citizens in your community. Oh, you mean, okay, I'll look up Kevin Kiley.
Did it die?
Sorry, I only had about an hour of battery life on the monitor there, so I apologize. Kevin Kiley's 100%er right now. 2021 to 2022 regular season. I'm sorry, season. Regular session. Yes. Now, he voted on concealed carry weapons restrictions. He voted no. He opposed the budget act. He also opposed the state-mandated kindergarten, and he opposed the right to abortion to the California Constitution. So he voted no on all those, which is why he's 100%. Now, he did abstain from the sexual identity changes for minors' children. He did abstain from that vote, and he also did not vote for the California Commission on Human Rights. So take that for what it's worth. Contact his office and ask him why he wasn't able to vote on those issues, I suppose. But again, that's great to see somebody like that who's 100%er. Yeah. So he just doesn't, because that bill even being there is unconstitutional. Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, thank you. Well, good. And if you weren't here, how would we have known that? Right? Well, I'm glad that you are here. And thank you. And are you're on his newsletter?
Yeah, I get his newsletter.
Would anyone else like to be on Kevin Kiley's newsletter? I know I would. I'll take that from you before we leave here.
good. If he's doing a good job, let him know. You know, contact your elected official does not always have to be in a complaint. You know, if you do find someone who's working for the betterment of the Constitution, by all means, let them know about it. Oh, Tom McClintock. I'm sorry, I couldn't get his name right. Finally, I wanted to let you guys know that if you decide to be active in the John Birch Society, we have three options for you: basic, standard, and a lifetime membership. Membership in the John Birch Society guarantees activism. When we bring people on as members, when we approve you for membership, we're asking you to be an active member, to be somebody who's going to do any of the things that I've lined out for you, to be an active member of your community who's out there informing others, to create that informed electorate so that when it comes time, when November rolls around and everybody's getting time to go to the ballots or the ballot box, who are they going to ask for their opinion? If they know that you share their values, they already know how you feel about these issues. If they're in the dark still, they're going to ask you. I get asked all the time, and I don't like it. I don't like being asked who to vote for. I lay out the information for them. I say, you know, you should see how they voted on this issue. If that's how you would vote, by all means, vote for that person. I don't like telling people how to vote, but I enjoy that I'm, you know, someone that they can come to and ask for an opinion. If you guys are those in your community, you maybe just don't realize that yet, but you guys are the ones who will drive this movement, the We the People movement. It's a patriot movement. It's a grassroots movement. And by getting together on a local level, just like you guys are doing here today, we're all taking part and taking our country back. Thank you very much for having me. I'll take any questions that you guys have.
Let me just say something real quick about the Q&A. All right, folks. So we have a Q&A mic right here. So please do come on up, line up, and ask your questions right here. And try, if you can, to limit it to a short question. And that way Jeff can respond at length and tell you all about whatever you're asking about. So come on up, line up right here. Come on up to the microphone right here.
Yeah, I was wondering if you have sometimes decided to take on a cause célèbre. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Like Ross Ulbricht. I don't know how many people know about him, but he's been put in jail, several lifetime of jail sentence for his work on the Silk Road. Ooh. And using cryptocurrency. And it's really a tragedy because logically Trump should have pardoned him. So I think it would be great if people knew about him and could sign, for example, the petitions that he's got. You know.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but like a couple of things, I'll be doing some research when I leave here today. Yeah. Anyone else have any questions about the John Birch Society?
Jeff, this isn't exactly a question, but I'm wondering if you could tell people how, say, a local chapter works or how it goes.
Thank you very much.
Do you want me to, or do you want to do
it? Would you like to come up here and say a few words? This is Mary Mark, who's one of my chapter leaders, who's actually on our speaker's bureau as well.
Hi, I just want to let you know, I don't live around here. I do live in Chatsworth, but I've been a chapter leader for many, many years. My parents actually started in the Birch in 1959. 1958, it was established in 1959. My parents got in, so that's how long I've been around the Birch. But what we do is once a month, we have a chapter meeting in our area, and people come, and sometimes like three or four of us show up. There's a rainstorm, and then we might have up to 5 or 10 or 15 people. And usually we don't like the chapters to get too much bigger than about 15 people. And what we do at the meetings is we will review The New American and some of the articles that are in the New American, not everybody gets around to reading all of them, but we like different people to read different ones, and we talk about that because the main thing with the Birch is education. But then we also spend time writing letters, or we're going to start working on postcards now. There's a time we used to always write letters, and they said, oh, letters don't do any good. So then we stopped doing that. Then we were emailing, calling, and now we're back to writing letters. So the point being that you do want to be active, and you want to be doing something. You want to be moving forward, not just talking with each other all the time. But the talking does help because we're trying to inform people. And this issue that this gentleman just brought up, that would be something that in a local chapter that maybe those people could decide that they wanted to work on something like that. But we do like things with the vax. You know, we'll get together and we'll decide to, you know, talk to a local representative or something. So that's the kind of thing we do. We're educational, and then we're also always kind of trying to move forward and be active.
Yes. Thank you. Mary Mark, thank you very much. She's been involved in this society a lot more than I have, so it's wonderful that I get to learn as much from her. I started out as a volunteer almost 2 years ago now, just as a volunteer chapter leader, the same position that Mary Mark does, and now I'm an actual field coordinator, which still a lot of volunteer work, you know, on a Sunday afternoon coming down here to talk to you folks and hand out some information. This is what we do in the society. We're trying to wake people up. We're trying to educate them so that when they go to the ballot box, they are informed.
I had come across the congressional scorecard quite a few years ago. I had no idea that it was the John Birch Society that did
that. Oh, yeah.
But I was evaluating where I was going to move out of California to based on
the
congressional scorecard.
Really?
And I found that at that time, at least, Wyoming was one of the most constitutional states.
Okay. Good
so
to know.
I was wondering what is currently one of the more constitutional states.
I think Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, every county is the only state in the republic where every county was red. I think it was Oklahoma. I'm almost positive. Yeah. So yeah, go ahead.
Hey Jeff, thank you for speaking. Great talk. A couple of questions. The first one's a quick question, and the next question is sort of a bit more detailed, I guess. But first question, how does it integrate, how does the New American magazine integrate with the John Birch Society? Like if you sign up, do you automatically get the magazines?
Yep. So I'm so glad that you asked that. You sign up, you can either sign up for a digital copy or a print copy. The New American comes out twice a month, which is why Mary Mark says sometimes it's, you know, if you have a John Birch meeting once a month, you'll get two issues in that time. It's hard to get through that, all those issues at once, which is why sometimes chapters will split it up. You get two issues per month, and you can either get those in a hard copy for $87 a year, $99 for a couple, but $87 a year. You get that print issue, that hard copy that you can then hand to your friends and neighbors. Digitally, you can become a member, I think, for just $49, somewhere in there for just to get a digital copy in your email box for then and print out that PDF or, you know, send it to your friends, your network.
Okay, great. Well, as promised, here's my second question. Do you guys do workshops on the Constitution? Because I know that stuff can get a little bit heavy.
Yes. Yes, in fact, we do. So we have an entire series, which I could show you. It's called The Constitution is the Solution. It comes with a full series of study questions for each video. If you sign up to be the instructor, you'll get a certificate naming you as said instructor, giving you the power then vested by me to go forth and hold your own classes. So absolutely, those can be held on a day that's like set aside, a Sunday, a Saturday, a Tuesday, Wednesday night when you're normally doing Bible study or just after Bible study, an hour a day. If you do it, I think there's six classes. There's six classes, and by the last one, you pretty much got a great grasp on the Constitution and how to live your life constitutionally.
You get the stamp of approval, right?
You get the stamp of approval. You get a certificate saying that you passed the course, and it's a great way to network. It's a fantastic way to meet other people. If you go to a church, you let them know, hey, we're putting on this class. If you go to your grocery store, let them know. Get out there to the farmer's market. You know, I don't know if you guys have any around here. You have some good farmer's markets or car shows. Anytime this park is active with people, talk to the people who are putting it up. See about putting out a table. Distribute the information. Get it out there. It's actually free on YouTube. I will send you the link if you're interested. It's free on YouTube, on Rumble. It's obviously free on our website. On the JBS website, I wish I would have shown you now before my TV went out. Is it back up?
I put a battery on. Turn it on.
It's okay. On the JBS website, once you become a member, we do have a member section. And in that member section, there are all kinds of archived presentations, literature, books that you can download, brochures, all that available for you. Just because, like I said from the very beginning, our whole goal is to educate. So that Constitution class, it's easy to watch. It was made, they're looking at updating it. It was made, I think, in the 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. And so it's fairly current. They are updating it, though. But the stuff that he talks about, even then, 2011 to 2012, it's like he's speaking about the stuff that's going on right now in our economy with inflation, with the enumerated powers of Congress, war powers. All of it comes into play with what we're dealing with now, even though these videos were made almost a decade ago now. Go ahead. Step up to the microphone, Mary Mark. No one can hear you.
Sorry. All of these little brochures that you see here, they're fantastic because you can give them to people, and they just very quickly can get an understanding about things. Like, for instance, the one I like that I give out explains about inflation because people, they kind of get it, but they need more information. So these are wonderful. You buy them yourself. They're not very expensive. You get a pack for $10 or something, and then you can just hand them out to people. So that's another good part of the education.
I didn't understand inflation, really. I didn't understand that it was the watering down of our dollars. I just thought it was grocery stores raising their prices to make up for the employment that was the employee that wanted a raise, right? That's why I thought inflation was I had no idea. I had no idea how it worked, how it all got started. The Federal Reserve, fraudulent Federal Reserve system that we are banking in right now. Has anyone read the Creature from Jekyll Island? Fantastic. Wow. Okay. You haven't? Dig into it. It's not a hard read. I will let you know. G. Edward Griffin, he has supported the John Birch Society for a lot of years. Some of the videos that you have in that members section, the archive section, you can find the black and white presentations that G. Edward Griffin, the author of that book, gave back in the 60s and the 70s. And that book was funded by JBS members. The John Birch Society didn't directly, but indirectly through our members who got together. They held fundraisers and brownie sales and, you know, got out there, raised the money to then present to G. Edward Griffin for him to write the book. I think it was $25,000, if I'm not mistaken, for him to write that book, which, dig into it, you hopefully open your eyes onto the fraudulent banking system that we live in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Also, G. Edward Griffin runs what's called the Red Pill Expo.
Yes.
Now.
Has anybody been? Have you been?
No, I've met G. Edward.
Oh, good.
Personally.
Good.
I videotaped him at a premiere of a movie called Zeitgeist.
Yep, I remember Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones that woke me up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. What I wanted to say is just now it's slipped right out of my mind. But what I'd like to do is get some of these flyers on camera. So I'll hold them up at the end, and we can sure. get a picture of them and then include them in the video.
And it's as easy as going to that JBS.org website, and all these are on there. Like she said, they come in pamphlets where they're like less than 5 cents a piece, I think. We try to make it as inexpensive as we can right. for you to get this information and distribute it to the public.
Right. So I do remember now what I wanted to ask. And okay. you may or may not be familiar with this, and a lot of people aren't, but I was wondering if the John Birch Society ever said anything about the standoff at the Bundy Ranch, if you remember that.
I believe we did.
Scenario.
I'm going to look it up. I think we had a whole issue that you can buy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Awesome. You may not know this, but Ammon Bundy is under attack right now. He's being attacked with lawfare. They're using the legal system to try to destroy him. It's quite a saga right now.
But so we have a bunch of articles we've written on the New American. Okay. You can go to newamerican.com. There's a little search icon right there. Every article that we've written about it will pop up. It looks like 114 of them. That have wow. to do well. Okay. I'm sorry, 114. I just typed in Bundy. So Bundy's case: feds do not own the land where his cattle graze. Is Bundy a racist? Where's the proof? Bundy charged with conspiracy? What about the court charge of conspiracy? So lots of things awesome. Written on the newamerican.com. So and it's all out there. Anything that the John Birch Society does, nothing is hidden. Our whole agenda, I have some I'll hand out to you guys. We've printed everything. Nothing is secret. All that we're trying to do is form chapters, get people together to meet on a regular basis, like you guys are already doing, right? You guys are birching. You're birching. You just don't know it yet. But this is what we do. We get together. We as a community grow. Hand the information out, and when it comes time to vote, we vote for people who love the Constitution. So, thank you very much. I would encourage you to please join up. If you decide to, you'll know that I am the person in this area who will approve your membership. I'll let you know right now. I will approve just about everybody here. If you got off your rear end to come here today to listen, and I will be more than happy to just approve your membership today. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Awesome.
Well, thank you, Jeff, very much. Appreciate you coming out and speaking to us. Thanks a lot.